the worst game. We've been through a lot, you and I. In the past months, we've seen some really bad games. We've also discovered some gems. You've corrected my pronunciation. You've told me how to compartmentalize the United States, Canada, and maybe Mexico's video game crash of 1983, among other things. And now it's all coming to some kind of conclusion. Because today, I'm sure we will discover the worst game. Into the vertical light, Generation
Atari. E.T. the Extraterrestrial for the Atari 2600 might not be the best game ever made, but it has a cool title screen, and it offers a complete, albeit short, challenge. While there are some unfortunate choices, it's mostly bug-free. However, E.T. the Extraterrestrial has been called the worst game ever made, and we just don't believe it. We are here to collect evidence to see exactly where E.T. falls on the bad game spectrum. In this series, we will test other notorious games from the Golden Age and see how they stack up in comparison.
This is Into the Vertical Blanks, Worse Than E.T., The Worst Game Ever.
Before we go ahead and find the worst game, let's recap on what we've been through in the past 12 months or so. If you so desire, you can go back and watch all of these episodes in the Worse Than E.T. playlist at youtube.com/intothevertical blank. This all started more than a year ago, after I reread Howard Scott Warshaw's book Once Upon Atari and began feeling a little defensive for him, because I knew that E.T. was not the worst game ever made. But that was that. Then I innocently played Tax Avoiders as a way to salute tax season and realized it was worse than E.T., far worse, and an idea formed in my head to start looking for games that are worse than E.T. I started with Bobby's Going Home, thinking it would be a slam-dunk bad game, but instead, I liked it. In fact, I think it's better than E.T. I liked it so much, in fact, that I bought a copy and made a Crack the Seal video about it. But this wasn't helping me get anywhere. So then I tried to find an actual bad game, and I came upon Airlock. I hated Airlock. Airlock was so frustrating, in fact, that it pushed me to one of my lowest points in my YouTube career.
What the f- Okay, let's go. Come on. Reset. What the f-
It made me so mad playing it. I was sure I had found the worst game ever made. But then I got some advice on how to play it, and it turns out while it is bad, it's not as hard as I thought. Still, it's worse than E.T. Along with Airlock, I looked at four other games from Day to Age, all of which were pretty bad, but maybe not the worst game ever made. Next, I tried the games from Mythicon, and whoa, are they bad. So bad, in fact, I'm pretty certain one of them is probably the worst game ever made. Star Fox, in particular, made my head throb with its badness. But I was still not done yet. By the way, after playing the Mythicon games, I went back and reevaluated my thoughts on the Data Age games, because they made me think the Data Age games were much worse. Next, I played a bunch of games from BitCorp, like Mr. Postman, and while some suffered from varying degrees of badness, some were actually pretty much okay, too. So while it was a weird romp, I was no closer to finding the worst game. Next, I took a very personal turn to try to explain what game I think might be the worst. The point of this episode was to explain how I think the worst is subjective and probably has more to do with expectations than quality. In this case, the game was Marauder, which I compared to my disappointing experience buying the Kiss Dynasty album in 1979, and many, many people disagreed with me, proving the subjectiveness of this entire operation. Then I tackled Atari 2600 Pac-Man to see if it is the worst. But while Pac-Man is subjectively bad, it's probably not the worst. What I found in that episode is that I believe Atari's marketing was the problem. It was the worst, not just the game itself. And then I took a long break to try to contemplate all of this. Finally, I'm back, almost a year after I started, ready to finish this quest.
Over the past few months, I've been given suggestions for really bad Atari 2600 games. So here are a few of them. The first, Custer's Revenge. Let's talk about something I avoided, Custer's Revenge. This is by far the worst game ever made. I should have subtitled this series besides Custer's Revenge, because I didn't even want to acknowledge its existence. This is just a terrible, terrible, horrible thing. It's not even a game. It's a racist, violent, horrible, sexist propaganda piece. We won't even put its box on our chart. We will just put this note at the bottom that says, besides Custer's Revenge. Parker Brothers and Amidar. Parker Brothers was a legitimate player in third-party games in the Golden Age. However, many people point to Amidar as a really bad game. I've seen Amidar on some people's worst game lists. Amidar is based on the Stern arcade game of the same name, but it's a game that I have never played. And this is important for this discussion. I had no expectations for Amidar at all. I've never played it before. So when I played it, I was actually pleasantly surprised. It had a satisfying drawing mechanic that I found pleasing. This whole aspect really appeals to me. Sure, there's not much there, but at least there's more than 73 seconds of the airlock challenge. I'll actually put this at the level of E.T. Skeet Shoot. Skeet Shoot was supposedly the first third-party game from a company that was not Activision. It was followed closely by Space Jockey by US Games in February 1982. This is just awful. Use Skeet Shoot, which I think translates into limited control and impossible play. This actually could be the worst game ever. It gets our lowest score. Karate by Ultivision. I've seen people call this the worst game ever too, and I can see why. It's stick figure fighting. Yes, it is not good, and it was not a good idea to attempt this on the Atari 2600, and the sounds, whatever are there, are awful. But it's not worse than Firefly, it's just unfortunate. So on our chart, we'll place this game on the same level as Firefly. But we are out of room, so we have to expand the chart. There, now let's add to it. Pac-Kong. Here's Pac-Kong by Quell. This game looks awful with graphics and music that appear to be stolen from better games and then slightly modified, with collision detection extracted directly from tax avoiders. And watch out for those attack keys. But, and this is a big but, it appears to offer as much variety and challenge as Airlock, so it goes on that line. But here is my question. Who made this, and what is its real name? Is it from Hertis or Rainbow Vision? Is it named Inca Gold, Spider Kong, or Tonky Kong? This one is definitely worser. And that brings us to Aliens Return. This game is completely unfathomable. I think it's supposed to be a take on the Pac-Man game Spielberg requested when he first talked to Howard Scott Warshaw, but instead is bizarre and awful and oh my god, why am I doing this to myself? I think it was made by ITT Family Games, who also made or released the following list of games. Cosmic Town, Firebird, Hell Driver, Laser Base, Meteor Defense, Mountain Man, Peter Penguin, and Pumiki. Finally, Wilmer the Wanderer. It's literally the same game as Bobby Goes Home, but with a nice background. This is all starting to make me go a bit crazy. And this brings me to the ultimate challenge with games from these little documented companies. I'm just not sure who made which games and who licensed them and who pirated them. In fact, there are entire threads on Atari Age from 20 years ago trying to figure out the same thing. And it's just getting to be too much. So wait, you know what? This is too hard. I think I have to end this now. I've got to stop. I've been having an actual nightmare about this process. In all honesty, I love the Atari 2600. I'm tired of pointing out games that were worse than E.T. I'm tired of pointing out other people's mistakes. These games were made 40 plus years ago, with almost no tools or no documentation. In many ways, it's a miracle any games got made at all. Even the programmers of the worst still pulled off little miracles to get anything to show up on the 2600. It's really unfair for people like me to look back and make charts and lists like this. I have no idea what these developers went through to make any kind of game. So you know what? I'm going to do something to fix this. I'm going to make what I believe is the worst Atari 2600 game ever and take all of these little guys off the hook. Step 1, the setup. With the Atari Dev Studio plugin and Visual Studio Code, I start a Biotari basic game. Yeah, see, to make my game even worse, I'm taking an easier way out than any of the people who had to make an Atari 2600 game in the Golden Age. They couldn't have possibly had it as easy as I do with Biotari basic. Step 2. Name my game. This one is easy. I'm going to edit the default Biotari basic title screen and call it Worst Game, because that's all the letters that will fit when you try to write stuff with these play field graphics. Step 3. Now I'm going to design my game. Now that I have a name, I need to figure out what would be the worst game. Maybe we start with some bad things from the games we've seen already. Maybe I'll make a game that's really, really hard, like Airlock, almost too hard. I'll use up too many resources on my 4K game, with no bank switching, on the title screen and the end screen. I'll add some random places where things veer off into weird directions. You'll get one life only. I'll make the controls really hard, and I'll also add a cheat mode and an Easter egg. So this is how this game works. Fireballs fly in from the left or right of the screen. From whichever direction the balls come, the player closest must avoid the fireball. When the fireball reaches the center of the screen, they become energy balls that must be collected by the second player sprite on the other side of the screen. It's the opposite when they come from the other side. You get 1 point for each successful catch. You get one life. If you miss a ball, it leaves the screen on the opposite side and the game is over. At 256 points, the game is over and you win. That's it. So now let's create an elaborate story setup for this very basic game. Here's the story. It is wedding eve for Princess Aurora and Prince Bo. They are destined to be happy together after their upcoming glorious day of matrimony. For Aurora is the most beautiful princess in the land, and Bo is the manliest prince the realm has ever seen. But there is a deadly game afoot. The evil wizard Mayor Dracoville does not want this marriage to happen. He wants all the power of the kingdom for himself, so he has conceived a diabolical plan. While ancient magic royal spells prevent Mayor Dracoville from outright killing the happy couple, they do not prevent him from testing them. The tradition of ancient royal magic allows Mayor Dracoville, the wizard of the realm, to design a game to test the couple's suitability as king and queen, who can work together to serve the kingdom. In past happier times, these games have been simple, jovial challenges that gave the assembled wedding party a hearty laugh. For instance, the prince helped the princess put on makeup with one hand tied behind his back, or the princess directed the blindfolded prince on how to light a fire in the fireplace. The eve before the wedding day is joyous and happy. There is a delicious dinner and a night filled with laughter, romance, flowers, and happiness. However, it does not end well. After dessert is served, it is time for Mayor Dracoville to announce the game he has designed for the happy couple to partake in. "I have designed the worst game ever," Mayor Dracoville announces. The wedding party gasps in shock. "I shall banish each of you, prince and princess, to your own dimensions. There, separated across the veil of the space-time continuum, you must work together to collect the energy of the suns. But it is not so easy. Fireballs from a sun in one dimension must be dodged, but as they cross the veil of space-time, they turn to pure energy that must be captured. And you must work together, yet you move in opposite directions. Do this 256 times without fail, and you will earn the right to marriage." Then with an evil laugh, Mayor Dracoville disappears, and the prince and princess are transported to alternate yet parallel dimensions. Now it is your job to help them escape. Can you help them capture the energy of suns, save the wedding day, and free the realm from the evil grip of Mayor Dracoville? Can you help the prince and princess win at the worst game? Gameplay. Mayor Dracoville has banished the prince into one dimension and the princess into another. He has trapped them in an evil game, which there is barely a chance for escape. You control both prince and princess at the same time. Since they are in opposite parallel dimensions, they move in opposite directions when you push up and down on the joystick. Whichever side the fireball or energy ball is on, that character will be able to move away or move towards while the other moves in the opposite direction. Watch out, there's a chance the ball will glance off at an angle when it hits the veil of space-time. As well, periodically, the balls get smaller and move faster. And then there are the pits. As the prince and princess progress, pits will open on the floor. You must avoid these at all costs. One touch, and your game is over.
For an easier challenge, make sure both difficulty switches are set to A. Most emulators start with them set to B. So you set them both to A, you'll see a happy face come on the screen, and that means you're in the cheat mode, which means you have to capture significantly less balls to get to the end of the game, and the controls are not opposite.
I don't have time to go over all the code here. I'll post a link to it in the show notes. There are probably a bunch of bugs in there too, but you know what? It wouldn't be the worst game without some game-killing bugs, would it? Here's the box art, AI-generated, of course. I've also created a cartridge label and a manual, all of which will be made freely available to anyone who wants to experience the worst game ever made. So what did I learn from all this? What I found out is that making a bad game can be very hard. It took me about a week to create the worst game, and it was not my first idea. My first idea was a game called One Try, where you had literally one try to find a bomb in a grid of squares. Click wrong and die. But that seemed too lazy, and that's why I tried very hard to make one that was even worse than that. I had a really great time programming and trying to devise really awful and evil ways to make sure the game was incredibly difficult, but was also a game that could be completed, maybe only in cheat mode. To me, the worst game is one that embodies many of the things that we have seen over this series. A game that promises much with an elaborate backstory, but then delivers so little. A game that is a real disappointment. A game that has awful controls. A game that is overly repetitive. A game that uses available resources for window dressing instead of gameplay. A game that is so hard you might as well not even attempt it. If that's not the worst game, I'm not sure what is. So on our chart, we'll place my idea for One Try on the worser line. And then we'll place Worst Game on the new Worst Game line. And forever, at least according to my chart, Worst Game will be the worst game ever for the Atari 2600 and take everyone else off the hook. Conclusion. Like I said before, we've been through a lot, you and I. We've seen some really bad games and maybe even played a few good ones sprinkled in there too. We've attempted to design the worst game ever made, and it's quite possible we even succeeded. But I think this is an example of why calling any game the worst game for the Atari 2600 is quite a trap. Worst is not always objective. For example, I might say Atari VCS Pac-Man is indeed the worst game I ever played on the Atari 2600. That opinion might be based on more than just the game itself, but also on my expectations for the game and how they were not met in 1982. I could say the same thing about Donkey Kong by Coleco. In the abstract, both are decent if not impressive Atari 2600 games, but for me as a kid in 1982, with all the excitement and expectations around both games, they disappointed me. But you'd also find many people that totally disagree with this. That's why finding games worse than E.T. is also a fool's errand. The truth is, there are just a lot of bad games, but there are also great games too. In fact, a lot of really great ones. So maybe in another series, we'll highlight that fact. Instead of asking, is it worse than E.T., I could instead pose this question based on my personal favorite Atari 2600 game. Is it better than River Raid? Or maybe, is it better than Adventure or Yar's Revenge? Or maybe even, is it better than Escape from the Mind Master or Dragon Stomper? Life too short to carry on this negative thread any longer. I think it's about time that I made an effort to play some good games instead.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.